It's Christmas season, the most wonderful time of the year. It's easy to get busy shopping and wrapping and baking and forget that we celebrate because of the gift given through Mary more than 2,000 years ago. So thank you for putting your Christmas preparations on pause for a little while and joining us today. If you are a regular Dayspringer, welcome home. If you are new to Dayspring, the people watching with you want you to feel like you've come home as well. And now, thanks to the coronavirus, it doesn't matter where you live. People all over the place, not just in Salem and Kaiser, are glad to be worshiping with you. We believe there is nothing more important than your spiritual journey. And we are committed to helping you discover what it looks like to follow Christ in this day and age. If you have any questions or want to learn more about us as a church, please explore our website at dayspringfellowship.com. I'm Chris Voigt, lead pastor at Dayspring. I'd love to connect with you if you have questions about today's message or about the next steps in your spiritual journey. If you want more information about Dayspring and getting connected into our community, I'd be glad to help you do that as well. For today's service, you can find study questions and notes in the resources section of our website. And now, let's join our service already in progress.
Hello, Dayspring. Well, 'tis the season for ugly Christmas sweaters. And as you can see, I participate in this tradition to the fullest. My name is Michelle Snook, and I'm the pastor of community life here at Dayspring Fellowship. It's a privilege to be with you today. Now, I may have shown this picture before. This is my beautiful family, minus one grandson. When we got married, we had three girls combined, Sarah, Amy, and Jamie. We later added Annie, and then later still Lexi. Well, actually, Lexi is biologically Chris and Dee Dee Voigt's daughter. When Annie and Lexi were growing up, they became best friends, and they did most everything together then and still do life together now. She soon became our fifth daughter as Annie became the Voigt's second daughter. And to our delight, each of the girls have brought men into the family, so we now have five sons as well. And that little cutie is Avery, Chris and Dee Dee's granddaughter, which of course we claim as ours also. You've heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. We found that to be true while we're raising our girls. We had three busy older girls, and as Annie became more involved in church and cheer and choir, and we were working parents, it was very difficult to be at every meeting a parent needed to attend. And since Lexi had most of those same commitments, as parents, we would divide and conquer with the Voigts. Whoever didn't have to work would attend a meeting or practice or school conference, and it was kind of funny because in middle school, I think the teachers were confused about which parent was the actual parent. The older girls even got in on helping out. They would take the younger girls to practice or stand in for a parent at a meeting. It took a village. We were a village and still are. It is such a blessing to have another set of parents who have the same Christian values that you have, investing in the lives of your children. And I'm pleased to say that now we have five adult girls, and they all invest in the lives of children that are not their own. As I said, we have a blended family, but we have never introduced our children as stepchildren. We have always introduced them as our girls. We don't differentiate between them. They're all ours. And they're very close, and they love each other despite their differences. We just don't really consider ourselves blended anymore. Actually, I don't think that we ever did. Recently, my daughter Amy introduced me to a coworker as her mom. Her coworker said, "You look so much like your mom." And we both laughed. I'm not her biological mother, I'm her stepmom. You know, when Sarah was ill for an extended period of time, Tony went from A shift to B shift at Portland Fire so that one of us could be home at all times. For those of you who are not familiar with the fire department, that was no small thing. He was also willing to sell our home to pay for medical expenses. He's not her biological father. He's her stepdad. Recently, one of our adult daughters was having an extremely hard time, and she came home and she just cried her little eyes out, and Tony held her like he did when she was young. He's not her biological father. He's her stepdad. I could go on and on. Now, I want you to understand that our children do have other parents, good parents. It isn't that we're the only game in town. We just loved our kids, and we did everything we could to make a healthy family. And it was hard work. Second marriages have a high fail rate, and when you bring kids into the mix, the fail rate gets even higher. It was important to us for the kids to see us cooperate with the other parents. That can be very difficult. You have to pick your battles. We didn't want our kids to have to look around the stands to find all their parents at the game, so we sat together most of the time. We never badmouthed the other parents in front of the children or to the children. We supported the other parents when the kids complained to us about them, although I'm pretty sure that our kids never complained to the other parents about us. Raising kids is hard. The more support you can get, the better. We firmly believe that the more adults, healthy adults, that loved our kids, the better chance they had in life. Raising a Child Not Your Own, that's the title of this message. Today we're going to look at what it might have been like for Joseph to raise a child that wasn't his. What implications did that have for him? Last week, John talked about the godly character of Joseph. He challenged us to grow and live a life that reveals godly character, regardless of our unique circumstances, just as Joseph did. So let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, what an amazing story it is, how you brought the Savior of the world into our presence. And God, as we talk about who you chose to be his earthly father today, maybe there's a place in our hearts for a child that we need to reach out to. So Lord, I pray that you would enter in, prompt us, guide us, and lead us, that we may be the hands and feet of your son Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. We return to the story where previously we learned that Mary was engaged to Joseph. John unpacked this last week, just how much of a commitment that was, and that to break off that engagement was actually the dissolution of a legal contract, a divorce. Since Mary was pregnant by someone else, Joseph was considering divorce. And we're looking again in Matthew, Chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, so turn or navigate there, and let's begin by reading the whole passage, and then we'll come back through to unpack it. So let's start here. Verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Of course, we know that Joseph did not divorce Mary and that he took on the role of being the earthly father to Jesus, a stepdad, so to speak, although I don't particularly like that term. So let's look a little deeper into this week's passage. Again, verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now let's talk about angels for just a moment. You know, we're familiar with the winged human-like creature sitting on a cloud, and look, they even like cream cheese. But that isn't what we're talking about. We are talking about biblical angels, which are essentially messengers from God. Angels have many functions. They praise God. They serve as his messengers to the world, watch over God's people, and are sometimes instruments of God's judgment or sometimes encouragement. They also appeared in different ways at different times in the Bible, as I believe they do today. There are many places in the Bible where we see God communicate with people through angels. Sometimes they appear to a person, as in Acts 12. In this situation, Peter was in prison, and he was most likely going to be executed. During the night, an angel strikes Peter on the side and tells him to get the heck out of Dodge. The angel leads Peter out of jail and down the street to safety. Let me read this to you. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, He was fast asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals, and he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angels ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and the second guard's posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. It is really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angels and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. In Joseph's situation, though, the angel appeared in a dream. We see that in other places in Scripture as well. Angels are often the messengers of comfort or encouragement. Today, we hear stories from people who are in life-threatening situations who say an angel appeared to encourage and comfort them. Many years ago, I asked my young niece why she didn't worry about her toddler brother getting hurt. That's a very long story for another time. But she replied without missing a beat, because he always has those three angels around him. I believe that angels are still acting as God's messengers in our lives today. I've had three distinct situations in my own life where I believe God used an angel. One time, when I was up at Legacy Emmanuel Hospital with my daughter, Sarah, she was very sick, and it was a lengthy stay, and I stayed with her most nights and was pretty exhausted. Late one night, I was attempting to sleep on those window beds. You know, it's about as wide and as soft as a surfboard. The room was dark, and a woman came into the room and sat in the chair and began praying. She told me her name. She said she was the night staff that was supposed to stay in the room for the night. And she did. She stayed all night, and she prayed. And in the morning, I asked the nurse who she was so that I could, you know, send her a thank you card. No one knew what I was talking about. There wasn't anyone by that name that worked on that floor. You can call it what you want. All I know is that we were encouraged and comforted and had a renewed sense that we could rest in the Lord. back to Joseph. An angel appears in his dream and says, "Do not be afraid." Now, there's a conversation starter. If he wasn't afraid yet, he probably was now. You know, we have already seen how culture and gossip regarding Mary could have caused a little fear. But what about the thought of raising this child Mary was carrying? What about the thoughts of raising a child that isn't his own? Seriously, kids are scary, especially when you're not expecting one right away. Joseph was to be the earthly father of this child, the earthly father of the child who would one day take away the sins of the world. Translated, Joseph is raising God's child, and the child is God. Wrap your mind around that one. What an enormous task that God was entrusting to Joseph to raise this boy Jesus as though he were his own. He was charged with loving him, being his mentor, teaching him, and guiding him. Joseph was to be the model of what it means to be a man, the teacher of a trade, an example of what it means to honor and serve the Lord. And this child was the Lord. Jesus was both man and God, fully human, yet fully God. What was it like to tell Jesus what to do? What was it like to teach the one who would become the ultimate teacher? The opportunity to be used by God required Joseph to love Jesus as his own child. There are many of you who understand this mission. You are grandparents raising grandchildren. You have a blended family. You are foster parents. You are involved with nieces and nephews. You are deeply involved in raising children who may not be your biological children. And let's just be real, it is a tough gig. But let me remind you that you have a great opportunity. You have been chosen by God to be involved in that child's life, to love and to nurture and teach grace and humility, to be a living example of what it means to be a godly man or woman who honors and obeys the Lord. For those of you who are blended families, I know it's hard. Please remember to always take the high road. Remember that your children did not choose this, and they need all the support that they can get. Don't compete with the other parents. Just love well. It will pay huge dividends in the end. And there are many who are listening and wondering, how does this apply to me? You're not currently in the situation of raising someone else's child. Maybe you're not currently involved with any children at all. Here's what I have for you. Get involved. There are so many hurting, stressed out, confused children all around you whose parents are in desperate need for help with their kids. Now more than ever. You have an opportunity to invest in the lives of the families around you. You can FaceTime or Zoom or Skype with kids to encourage them and maybe play a board game with them or read them a story or do a craft together or just plain get creative. Maybe you could help with schoolwork or you could put a funny sign in the yard for them each morning. I don't know. But what I do know is that children need us. Parents need us. Pray about how you can get involved in a child's life. Don't be afraid. Pray and just go for it. God has told many people in the Bible, do not be afraid. And it was usually just before they experienced something that they very well should be afraid of. But God. The truth is, the only thing that we have to be afraid of is our own disobedience or lack of seeking God's wisdom and discernment. When we follow through on obedience to something we believe the Lord is calling us to do, we experience blessings we would have missed had we not followed through. Joseph had an incredible opportunity to be used by God to bring about the new covenant, the gospel message, the way to God himself. Looking back at our passage, let's pick it up in verse 22, where we read, "All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." This verse is referring to the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was God in the flesh, or God in a bod, so to speak. What that must have been like to see Jesus walking the earth. Even though Jesus is not physically walking the earth today, we have the Holy Spirit, and today through the Holy Spirit, Christ is present in the heart of every believer. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Notice that Joseph was immediately obedient, right when he woke up. Not tomorrow or next week or sometime later. He was immediately obedient to what God told him to do. In Joseph's case, an angel appeared and spoke. Joseph heard the voice, albeit in a dream. God speaks to us today, mostly through his word. We can know what is right or wrong, how to help people, how to speak to people by immersing ourselves in the word of God. Spending time with God in his word helps us be more susceptible to hearing him, to knowing where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. We don't need to have an angel experience or audibly hear the Lord speak. He's given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts for discernment, and he has given us our minds, which stay reasonably sound when we're emotionally and spiritually healthy. If we're not emotionally healthy, he's given us doctors and counselors and psychiatrists and medication to help us move in that direction. So we really have no excuse for not becoming men and women of God. We are here for a reason, to invest in the lives of others. It takes a village. I recently read in Adam Hamilton's book, Faithful, Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph, that centuries ago there was a follower of Jesus who lived in Asia Minor, what today is Turkey. He had a heart for those in need. He was selfless and kind, and according to the legend, as he approached Christmas, he wanted to find a way to celebrate rightly the birth of Christ. After some reflection, he settled on an idea: find needy children in his community and do something to help them. In this, he would follow the tradition of the Magi, who had brought gifts to help Joseph's poor family that first Christmas. You may not know the story, but you know the name, Nicholas. At Christmas time, we are more apt to give or donate money to children's causes. What about the rest of the year? What about investing time, your life, in the lives of children and parents? There are children and parents near you who need your prayers. They need your encouragement and your grace. Will you commit to praying about where and how God would have you make your investment in God's future world through the families in your midst? Remember, they don't have to be children of your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are your hands and feet. We are the ones to send out the gospel message. You have called us to invest in the lives of others, and it's been so easy in this COVID season to pull back and lock in on our own. Lord, give us creative ways. Lay the names on our hearts of people that we should reach out to and care for. Lord, give us your heart for your children, young and old, even when they're not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's been our honor to have you join us in worship today. Whether you are a regular DaySpring attender or just joined us for the first time, we'd love to walk with you on your spiritual journey. Feel free to drop us an email if you have questions or want more information. If you'd like to partner with DaySpring financially, we have three easy ways for you to give. We don't take any financial gift for granted. Every penny is used to share the truth of Jesus Christ, not only in Salem and Kaiser, but around the world. Please see the online giving section of our website, text GIVE to the number on your screen, or mail one of those old-fashioned checks to us. Make sure to subscribe, share, and like our live stream wherever you watch it. Until next week, may the grace of God bless every aspect of your life.